بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We resume the class on the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we have reached verse 142. قال الله عز وجل: سيقول السفهاء من الناس ما ولاهم عن قبلتهم التي كانوا عليها قل لله المشرق والمغرب يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. سيقول السفهاء. The fools among the people will say, what has turned the Muslims from their qibla, from direction, directing themselves? This is the meaning of qibla. What people face, direct their faces towards. What has turned them from their qibla to which they were used to face in prayer? Say, to Allah belong both east and the west. He guides whom He wills to a straight way. سيقول السفهاء. The سفهاء meaning the fools, who do not act properly and also who oppose the wisdom in their actions. And this could cover sayings, actions, as well as creed. Those people are fools in the regard to their religion, although they may be acting properly concerning, for example, their wealth. And the foolishness regarding the religion, Allah made it clear in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2, verse 130. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim except him who befools himself? So what made them, they say, turn from their qibla, turn away from their qibla, which they were upon? And this means Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem. And their statement here, what has turned them from their qibla, is an exclamation. I mean, what was the thing that made them turn from their direction, from directing themselves to Baytul Maqdis in prayers? And we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to Medina after he immigrated from Mecca, he directed his face to Bayt al-Maqdis for a period of 16 or 17 months, while the Kaaba was to his back. And that's why Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقضي حاجته مستدبر القبلة مستقبل الشام. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم responding to the call of nature with his back to Al-Kaaba and turning his face towards Al-Sham, this is the greater Syria area which encompasses Palestine and Bayt al-Maqdis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to what these fools will say. Not only that, he informed him as to the response And the response is, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. In the statement, in the same verse, say, to Allah belongs the East and the West. To Allah belong both the East and the West. So Allah is the one who directs to the East if He wishes, and to the West if He wishes, and to the North or to the South if He wishes. He referred here in the response to the East and the West because the sun rises from the east and sets in the west, and the east is the place of rising of the sun and the moon and the stars, and the west is their setting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of the east and the west, and He runs the affairs in His kingdom as He wishes, in accordance with His perfect wisdom. Allah said at the end of this verse, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. He guides whomever He wills to a straight way. And from those whom He guided to this straight way is this Ummah. In the sense that He guided them to the original Qibla, which is Al-Ka'bah. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, إِنَّ الْكَعْبَةَ كانت قبلة الأنبياء. The Kaaba was the Qibla, the direction to which the prophets directed their faces. The Kaaba was the Qibla of the prophets, and redirecting the Qibla to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem, was from the actions of the followers of those prophets. This verse has many benefits to it. From that is, number one, the knowledge of Allah as to what will take place. The knowledge of Allah as to what will take place. When Allah said, the fools among the people will say. And it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprehends everything in His knowledge, in general and in details. And His knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is eternal. Neither preceded by ignorance, nor affected by forgetfulness forever. The second benefit is the inevitability that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about will certainly occur, will come to exist. Because they indeed said that. They indeed said that. The third benefit, so whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells of its occurrence, it's inevitable that it will come to exist. And the third benefit is, whoever objects to the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a fool. It is because the fool does not know the wisdom, or that he knows it but takes a different path. The fourth benefit, giving comfort to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. When Allah told them that no one will object to this redirecting of the Qibla except one who is fool. And from the benefits is the informing of what is expected, so that the person gets ready to face it. And from the like of this is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to al-Yaman. He told him, you will come to encounter people of the book. Why? So that he gets prepared. And from the benefits is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was commanded to redirect himself, his face to Al-Kaaba, before that he directed himself to Bayt al-Maqdis, to the Jerusalem. It is said because he used to like to be in agreement with the people of the book in matters where he is not commanded to oppose them. And this took place when he came to Medina. When he arrived to Medina, he stayed for 16 or 17 months, directing his face in prayer towards Bayt al-Maqdis. Then afterwards, he was directed to oppose the people of the book. And from the benefits, the permissibility to relate the legislations to what the lordship entails. Permissibility to relate the legislations to what the lordship entails, or to what is entailed by the lordship. Why is this? In order to silence the people and save them from disputes and argumentations. So if someone says, why is this like that? I say, Allahu Rabbuka yaf'alu ma yasha. Allah, your Lord, does what he wishes and rules as he wishes. Why did he make this permissible? Why didn't he make that permissible? Why did he make this unlawful? You say, لِأَنَّهُ رَبُّكُ, because he is your Lord. So why the people turned from the east to the west, or from the west to the east, from Jerusalem to Al-Kaaba? You would say, this is entailed by his lordship. When Allah said, لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, to him belongs the east and the west, both the east and the west. So he acts in his kingdom as he wishes. And from the benefits is this, is that the opponent hesitates his opponent in that which affects his pride in order to lead him to agree with him. How is this deducted? This is deducted from the saying of Allah, what made them turn away from their qibla? What made them turn away from their qibla? They didn't say turn from the qibla, but they said from their qibla, as if they are saying, you know, yesterday you chose it and today you deny it and you turn away from it in order to agitate the pride. Allah said at the end, Allah said in the response rather, to him belong both the east and the west. So he is the one possessing all directions, running them as he wishes, and turning his slaves in whatever direction he wishes, and we have to obey, hear and obey wherever we are directed. This is really the important thing. Take for example, prostration to other than Allah is shirk. However, with respect to the angels, when Allah commanded them to prostrate to Adam, it was obedience. And killing of a soul unjustly is from the gravest of sins, especially killing one's son. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim to sacrifice his son, that was a means of nearness to Allah and worship. So the criteria is in the obedience to Allah. The criteria is in the obedience to Allah. At the end of the statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يهدي من يشاء, he guides whomever he wills to his straight way, to his straight path. If someone says, is the guidance merely related to the will of Allah, or is it associated with his wisdom? The answer is, it is definitely related and linked to his wisdom. Nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees except that it is related to his wisdom. And whether the decree is legal or universal, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Insan, verse 29 and 30, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا, so whoever wills, let him take a path to his Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, but you cannot will unless Allah wills. Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. You see, Allah made it clear here that his will is linked to his wisdom and knowledge. is in accordance with his wisdom and his knowledge. And the guidance of Allah is of two types. First type is called hidayatu, guidance of dalala, of directing. Dalala, which means directing, guidance of directing. And this is general. It involves the believers and non-believers, the wicked and the righteous. The second type of guidance is the special one, a special guidance, which is making the person a follower of the truth, giving him success to be on the truth. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Shura, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And thus we have sent to you, O Muhammad, Ruhan, an inspiration of our command. You knew not what is the book, nor what is faith, but we have made it, this Quran, a light wherewith we guide whosoever of our slaves we will. And verily you, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are guiding mankind to the right path. The first one in this statement, in the statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but we have made it, the Quran, a guidance, a guide, we guide whomsoever of our slaves we will, through the Quran. This is the guidance of success. At the end of the statement, Allah said, and verily, you Muhammad, okay, but we have made it, the Quran, a light wherewith we guide whomsoever of our slaves we will. This is the guidance of success. This is the special. This is the particular. The other is, at the end of the statement, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and verily you, Muhammad, are indeed guiding to the straight path, meaning showing the straight path, directing people to the straight path. The last statement is evidence for the general guidance, the guidance of directing. Another example, in Surah Al-Insan 79:2. This is now an example for the general guidance. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. I'm sorry, it's three. No, I'm sorry, it's three. 79:3. Verily we have showed him the way, whether he be grateful or ungrateful. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of the general guidance. He said, we showed him the way. This is the general guidance. Also, take another example concerning the people of Hud, or rather Thamud, in Surah Fussilat 41:17. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. Again, this is the general guidance. As for Thamud, we showed and made clear to them the path of the truth. This is the general guidance through our messenger. But they preferred blindness to guidance. From the points of benefits, affirming the will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if someone says, what about the saying of Allah, he guides whomever he wishes? Shouldn't this be a proof for the deviant Jabriya sect, who say that man is compelled with regard to his deeds? The answer: there is no proof for them in this, because citing part of the Quran while abandoning the rest is disbelief in the Quran. The Quran is from one who spoke that, and that he is Allah who spoke the Quran is one. He is Allah. So whatever is stated in general in one place in the Quran is restricted or particularized in another place. In fact, rather, the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam particularized the Quran and explains it, and therefore there is no proof for the deviant Jabriya sect in this verse, except for the one who looks at the Quran with one eye, a blind with one eye, because he would look through one eye as to the other one, which is blind. He does not see by it, and therefore it is dutiful that man looks at the textual proofs with two eyes, two penetrating eyes, not just one. And the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah assert that man has a will and choice and ability, and actions were added to man in many textual proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah added actions to man, and therefore this refutes their claim that man is compelled for his actions or in his actions. But the guidance of Allah is in accordance with his knowledge and wisdom, and Allah puts guidance as he sees fit and deserving, and this is perfection and justice. Otherwise, this would entail imperfection, and Allah is above what people may think of him in this respect or in any other respect. And from the benefits is the praise of this ummah, since it is the ummah on the straight